Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Lyle.
And still just two of us. Wait, when you're coming back, man.
Next episode will just be one. Oh, I saw the Hobbit.
Nice.
Battle of Five Armies. We do get movies on a delay, but just not that much of a delay.
Mm-hmm. And?
I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy the first two movies. I thought they were too long, but I liked this one.
You stayed awake through it?
Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
It's amazing. Yeah. And I was hungry watching it, and I still didn't feel it was overlong. I think it's the shortest of the three.
Oh, okay. Well, that helps, I imagine.
Hey, maybe that's why it felt the shortest. Yeah. No, I liked it. There's a lot of fighting. Mm-hmm. It definitely lives up to the battle. Yeah, I mean, there were some scenes that weren't in the book and were pretty irrelevant to the overall story, but you didn't mind them so much.
Okay.
I like that Legolas is in it. I mean, there was a point in the movie where I was thinking, when's Legolas going to show up? Because I kind of need him now.
So everyone was losing. They just need Superman to come down, huh?
And there's even one of those ridiculous Legolas CG moments, but yeah, I didn't mind it. I was like, okay, I think this might be a joke.
he's become meta.
Yeah, he gets it. He gets that horse thing. No, you should watch it. It's worth seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah, I definitely do plan to someday. I just finished watching the full first series of the new Star Wars Rebels TV series, the animated one.
Okay, I haven't seen that. I've only actually watched one episode of Clone Wars.
Okay. Well, it's good. I really enjoy it. It's the Clone Wars, it's hard to actually recommend the Clone Wars. I really enjoyed watching them, but it is a little bit kiddish, at least at the beginning. They seem to be pointing it towards a younger crowd, but it gets pretty dark later on, and by the end I was really into it. And same goes with this Rebels thing. It seems right now still a little bit on the young side, adding a moral to the story and things like that, but it's really nostalgic feeling, even more so than the Clone Wars. Because they bring in a lot of the technology that you see in the original three Star Wars movies. So you see the Star Destroyers and the TIE Fighters. And the biggest thing is the sound design, because all of those sounds, the speeder sounds, again, the TIE Fighters, they're filling your ears, and it's just like, oh, nostalgia.
Oh, okay.
If you're into Star Wars, it's definitely worth watching, but it's still early on, so I can't give a verdict on whether or not it's going to be good.
How do they work in the morals? This is like, and that's why we don't blow up a planet.
No, it's this kind of thing like, stealing is wrong, or you have to open up your feelings and let other people help you out. It feels like it's being aimed for a 12-year-old.
Okay. And slavery is wrong.
Yes.
Except for the droids.
Exactly.
I was going to say dwarves.
No, it's cool for them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's definitely worth a watch because they're only about 20 minutes per episode, so not a hard commitment to make.
Today's episode is going to be another installment of Rogues, where we look at a crime and we look at what it is, how it's done, why it's done, and who does it. And to get into the Christmas spirit, we decided to do burglary.
Because nothing says Christmas like theft.
But it does, really. I mean, well, Santa Claus, breaks and enters into homes.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, which was our last episode. Also, a lot of movies are set at Christmas.
Yeah.
Burglary movies, such as Home Alone, The Ref.
Yeah. So. Both of those, yeah.
There are sequels to Home Alone.
That's true. There's like 10 of those.
Well, I mean, A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, the ghost kind of, at least that one kind of intruded on him. Really stretching the point.
I think so. Yeah.
And we'll just say our disclaimer at the beginning, although we talk about how to commit a burglary, we also talk about how to prevent burglaries. Obviously, we're not endorsing the crime, and of course, we recommend you only do it with the supervision of a parent. Sorry. You only do it within a game.
Also, I have to a small disclaimer for myself. Even though they are separate crimes, I'm probably going to constantly make mistakes and call burglars robbers and vice versa. So, sorry about that.
Very good point. And that gets into what is burglary? And first part, a burglary is not robbery.
Mm-hmm, yes. Well, robbery is a little bit easier to define. Robbery is where you take something from a person, and usually through the threat of violence or actual violence. So it has to be face-to-face. The person is there and you take it from them. Burglary, on the other hand, usually involves breaking and entering into a structure of some kind and taking something from there without the owner being aware of it at the time. Though there is some play in the definition. I think one article I read on the legal definition was very clearly trying to write out that burglary also involves entering a structure with intent to commit a crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially theft. Mm-hmm. And it's a building, not necessarily a house. But yeah, when we looked into it, I mean, there's different definitions and, of course, different laws in different countries, mm-hmm. where some people won't even have burglary as a crime per se, but then they'll have ways around it. For example, they might have breaking and entering laws, or they might not, but then there are other ways in which they would charge the person. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like they can stack all of these laws. If somebody were actually to break and enter into a person's home and then succeed in stealing something, mm-hmm. then they could have multiple charges on the person.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how flexible the different parts of burglary law can be. Because I think it was saying that breaking doesn't actually have to be breaking something. If a door is left ajar and you merely push it open to allow yourself in, that can also be considered breaking.
No, that's really good. And just to tack on to that, even if they have permission to enter part of the house, that doesn't mean they can enter in another part of the mm-hmm. house. So like entering into a room that you don't have permission to go into can be considered breaking.
Yeah.
And by technically, we mean through common law burglary. Mm-hmm. And entering doesn't necessarily have to be the physical entry of a person.
Yes, sticking your arm through a window and taking something also counts as entering for burglary's purposes.
Or the insertion of an instrument
yes.
to remove the property. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and house.
Yeah, structure can be any structure, really. Tent, cave, shack, box.
I wonder if you can break and enter into a homeless person's box. I wonder why you
I was going to say, yeah, what could you get out of that? But
Ah, so that was burglary.
Yeah.
Which is not robbery. Now, there's different types of burglars. Of course, we think about the gentleman thief or the cat burglar. But the more pedestrian way to break them down, and there's a few online, but here's the ones that we thought were interesting, mm-hmm. and they broke them down into four different types of burglar. One is the opportunist, and that person who just takes something quick and easy. It's not premeditated. They just see something, and then they just grab mm-hmm. it.
The kind of person will walk through a neighborhood, and they'll see an open window or an unlocked door, a house where obviously no one is home, run inside, grab something, and run away.
Kind of like, you know, the person that takes the change from a phone booth. Oh, do you remember those?
Wow.
And just kind of scale that up to a
exactly.
Then there's the scouter, and the scouter is premeditated, mm-hmm. so they will search around neighborhoods for things to steal, and they'll like check doors and windows. Again, they're very quick and messy,
yep.
and they're not afraid to like just smash a window to get at something.
In this case, premeditated doesn't really mean that they've gone in with a specific target in mind. It means more that they're heading out with the intention to break into a house and to steal something. They just don't know what or where.
Yep. And then there's the prowler, who's kind of a step above. Mm-hmm. They kind of target properties as goods that can be sold to clients. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for things that they can fence.
Exactly. This kind of a thief usually has a specific target item to steal. So, for example, they have a person who's really good at fencing off TVs, or could even be car theft with Chop Shop. They know a specific type of item that's very easy to get rid of to sell to their clients, and they're looking for houses that have those kinds of things.
Yeah, people to steal jewelry,
yes.
go in.
That's a perfect example.
Box.
Much better than
yeah.
the car Chop Shop. Thank you.
No, I thought the car was a great example. Yeah, just a car thief. Mm-hmm. But if it was a mobile home.
Yes. So. Garages. Yes, garages count.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. They can break into somebody's yeah, garage to steal their car. Yeah, I wonder if that would be... I wish I knew a car thief. We could ask them if that's something you want to do. But that's so noisy. Like, somebody getting into our car? I don't know.
Well, I mean, yes, true. I suppose by the same grain, you know, breaking a window isn't exactly the quietest thing. It's more when the people aren't home that's the time to do it.
Yeah. And the final person is the person that targets, and they're very specialized. They often operate into crime rings mm-hmm. and specific types of homes they might target, or especially wealthy estates.
Yeah. These guys are the professional thieves, the ones that TV shows are made about.
The gentleman thief, like Simon Templar, right? Thomas Crown in the Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah, yeah. Mine goes straight to James Bond as well. I mean, I know he was kind of legally sanctioned, so it wasn't burglary. But yeah, I mean, he broke into places constantly all the time. But he was a gentleman in some definitions of the word. Other people might call him a rapist, you know, but hey.
Yeah, treats ladies well. Mm.
He wore a suit, all right?
It's a bit of thug. Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. That Leverage TV show?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We're actually playing that game, mm-hmm. sort of, kind of.
Maybe.
We're on hiatus yeah. right now. And neither one of us. No, you're playing
Secondary Thief, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so we actually got to do some burglary in that game, mm-hmm. but for good.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so there's definitely different types, and I think using those as archetypes is pretty good. Obviously, if you're building a character, making one, building in and you're making the thief, you're going to be making, like, the the targeted thief.
Exactly.
Or the prowler. Yeah.
When I was looking through the different kinds of thieves for this episode, I really don't see many characters going outside of the targeter and the prowler archetypes. Because, I mean, sure, the opportunist and the scouter, I mean, that is kind of what dungeon crawling is, going into a place and just taking stuff as you find it. But if you're actually talking about the thieving that most characters do in games is when the mission calls for some place to be broken into rather than as their regular job, and that is a targeted mission there.
Yeah, the opportunist probably would be a classic dungeon crawl or classic dungeon crawl without, like, a rogue in the party, so they just gotta smash things.
And without a dungeon as an excuse.
What I wouldn't want to happen is, you know, somebody tries to get into a house and the game master goes, okay, who's got the pick lock skill? Mm-hmm. Well, nobody.
And then so, it stops.
Okay, that's it. No, think of what an opportunist would do.
Yeah, I'm going to steal your line, but it was always, if you can't get through the door, try a window.
Right.
And if you can't get through the window, try a brick.
Getting through the brick or using the brick?
These four pieces just stand around staring at a brick. What do we do now?
I don't know if he committed suicide or if he was just trying to follow Chris's advice. But he is a mess. And the scouter, it reminds me of the type of game where, again, nobody's like built themselves a thief character, but then a certain part of the story has lent itself to that. Mm-hmm. So now they try to go, you know, searching for something or trying to steal something, but they don't really have the skill set. Messy thieves. I mean, they're going to break windows or they're going to force a lock to gain entry as opposed to like picking the lock and nobody can know unless you really look into it. Yeah. And they're going for stuff that can be easily carried, like in and out. Somebody who's more professional would be like the prowler, or you can just have somebody act as the scout, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And as we alluded to when we talked about leverage and like we're the good guys, I mean, in our particular case, we broke into a government building. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. And we hacked into the guy's computer. Whoa.
We're still good.
And we found that he had connections to the mob. Mm-hmm. And we stole that. We beat up some mobsters. Yeah. Yeah. And then did the classic. He had got him to give. No, we just exposed him.
Yeah.
I just didn't think, did we steal any money? Man, we're like terrible thieves.
We made a mess and we didn't get anything.
I think actually we did it where you cleverly broke into the building and I just kind of walked through the back door. So in that case, you would have been arrested and I wouldn't.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I just kind of walked in and I had permission to.
I would have so squealed on you though.
Yeah. So we talked about messy and we talked about professional. So there's a lot of different things or a lot of different ways that you can burglarize a home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, actually what you just mentioned about how your character just walked in and probably wouldn't have gotten arrested. And that kind of gets into the how of things that's one of the classic tactics that burglars seem to use is misdirection, where they will pretend to be a solicitor or someone offering to clean their gutters or mow their lawn or something like that, just as a way to see if somebody's home first before actually going in.
Yeah, they'll knock on the door, and if somebody answers, then they'll just make an excuse and then move on their way.
Mm-hmm. And if nobody answers, then they use the brick.
Yeah, a bad burglar would use the brick at the front. A good burglar would go around.
Now you see why I'm not a burglar by trade.
No, I think that's the thing, is they knock on the door, if nobody answers, then they kind of swing around to the back and then look for entryways that way.
Though actually, you know, I'm surprised at how often the brick is used in reality. A lot of the sites I was reading was saying that professional people, many of them are able to pick a lock, but that takes time. If nobody's home, it's so much easier to just break a window, reach in and unlock the door. And that's just a quicker way of doing it, especially if a house is alarmed. A lot of the sites I was reading were saying that burglars aren't really that scared of alarms because they're usually able to get in and out before any police are able to respond.
I think the time they said was 8 minutes is the maximum that a burglar would want to be in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody like the prowler or even the scouter would probably be aware, or a clever opportunist would be aware that like how long they would have in their area. Mm-hmm. But I think in a game, definitely make it a real tight time frame.
Absolutely. That just raises tension all the way around anyway. So.
And we've tried this in a game with mixed results, but I think the problem why it wasn't as successful as we hoped it would be is because we actually did it for a very long period of time, 30 minutes to an hour. We tried to do real time.
Yeah.
Whereas in a burglary, I mean, I think you could almost do real time if you're looking at like an 8 minute window. Mm-hmm. And ways around it, of course, doing all the rolls ahead of time to speed things up or giving players limited timeouts where they could have a quick timeout in order to check a rule, but they can't talk. Every time they talk, it's all real time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that would be exciting with a limited window like that. Is okay, you got 8 minutes. Mm. What are you gonna do?
I think that's really good. The way I'd run it is if we kind of had a group stopwatch going, where whenever a character is describing their action or talking, then they have to run down the stop, because you still need the game master interaction to describe what they're seeing in a room, what they find when they open a drawer, that kind of thing. So I don't think that would be part of the time, but yeah, I think.
Yes and no, but I like what you're saying, but if you open a drawer, it's not like every item jumps out at you.
True, true.
You know, so there is a bit of time when you're looking through a room or mm-hmm. which could account for some of the description, but of course if it's too lengthy, then you should give the players a break.
Right, right.
I don't know if you've ever played the game Space Hulk on the PlayStation.
I have, yes. I love that game.
Oh, me too. And for people who are unfamiliar with it, you stop the game, but you have like a timer and it counts down, and then you move all your space marines and position them
right.
on a little map. Mm-hmm. And then when you get out of that planning phase of the game, mm-hmm. then it's like real time,
yeah.
and you see how successful you mm-hmm. are.
They'll move, so. They'll move on their own automatically, but you can take control of one and can shoot the gene stealers as they come through. Oh, it's such
yeah.
a great game.
No, I love that. It was really, really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, but it was a nice way to combine real time and turn based. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yes, any burglary missions needs gene stealers.
8 minutes before the gene stealers get you. Hooray! Actually, when we're talking about how houses are targeted. Mm-hmm. I mean, they talk about like curb appeal,
yeah,
and how attractive the house is, and or just the signs from a building in a house. And I think you can incorporate that in the game. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're looking at garbage, they're looking at mail, they're looking at the condition of the lawn. Mm-hmm. If you have that,
yeah. And there are a lot of things mentioning about how burglars will actually create the conditions as well. If they don't see mail on the front porch, then they might walk up and leave a pizza flyer right there on your porch and see how long it takes for that pizza flyer to disappear.
Very clever. Mm-hmm. Very clever. So how do we prevent that? Just to occasionally break into that, people will get their neighbors to take that away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that's, you know, when we talk about scouting, and if you don't have something very elaborate like guards patrolling the area and people are, you know, very cinematic, like counting how long it takes them to do one rotation, mm-hmm. then you can do things like test it. You know, even if it is there a monster in there, you know, you put a lamb or a piece of meat and see if it comes out.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
you know. How do we see if smog's in there? Well, just look up there.
Yeah, right.
He's not really hiding.
Yeah, actually, going back a little bit to what we were talking about, how they'll knock on the door first. If you do answer, they'll pretend to be some kind of workman. And if you actually accept, you allow them to come in and clean your house or something like that, then they'll set themselves up for a burglary later on. They'll wait until you're not looking and unlock a window so that they can come back at night and just crawl in through the open window. That, I thought, it seems to have a lot of potential for groups, because you can involve all the different members of the group in the various stages of it. You have the person who is kind of the face man, who initially does the contact with the target, and then while they are distracting someone, they create some kind of opening for themselves later on. And then you have the characters who are actually sneaky and or tough, who are able to break in through that created opening later on. Kind of reminds me of the old stories of the kunoichi, which were female members of ninja clans who would often pose as servants in castles and then, you know, secretly open or unlock a door when the real ninjas come.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when you're talking about how they can influence the environment or shape the environment, I was thinking of two things, both the idea of that you should lock up your tools or, you know, your gardening equipment.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Mm.
Because they might take a ladder mm-hmm. that's unsecured or a hammer. I mean, we talk about bricks, but you're thinking, well, how many bricks do you have lying around?
Yeah.
Am I living on a building site? But, you know, somebody's hammer or something like mm-hmm. that. Or they might bring their own hammer.
This is also a possibility, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, one way to prevent somebody from breaking into your home is to secure all of your tools and make sure that they're as equally protected. Mm-hmm. But then it made me think of the game Fate, where they have aspects. You put something on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Fate's not a difficult game to get, but if there's one difficult rule to get your head around initially, it is how the players can shape the environment or influence the environment. Mm-hmm. And there you could put an aspect on the house and saying there's a ladder mm-hmm. that's been left out. I mean, they were painting the house or something, so they left out a ladder. And now the person can break into the second mm-hmm. story where the windows might be open or less secure. Certainly, if you live in Japan, you know, just for burglars who want to make the trip over. one of the big appeals of apartments, of course, above first floor, not only protection against the peeping toms and the cockroaches, but also it's more difficult to break into.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you can keep your windows open more. But you were saying yeah. that, like, the kind of the idea of the second story man or the second story yeah. woman is not a myth, but less common than people would think.
It was contentious. It was about half of the websites I read through, they said that burglars will usually target the second floor because the windows and entry points are usually less secured, being on the second floor. And also, one of the primary targets for valuables is the master bedroom, because that's where a lot of people will keep their jewels and things hidden. However, the other half of the websites I saw, roughly, were saying that crooks usually don't go on the second floor or into basements, for that matter, because it's too easy to get trapped there if somebody does come home. There's not an easy exit route. So I'm not sure what the truth actually is.
But I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing to use in the game is, yeah, there are going to be some areas where they are easy to get trapped. And if somebody is playing like a burglar character or breaking into, is like really take advantage of, did they check if there are exits? Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes for a really tense moment in a movie or a TV mm-hmm. show or a book. So you should really work that into your game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Robbing from the dragon's hoard and the dragon comes home. Because it has to be a dragon, because if it's a regular person, then the PC will just kill him.
Yeah. All right, I turned into a werewolf. Exactly. Okay, yeah, guys, come on. Come on. The delirium doesn't... All right. He's... But you feel bad.
No fate point for you.
I just think it doesn't matter where you are. When the dragon comes home, you're like, okay, we're both.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the first floor, he said. Safe, he said.
Well, you know, that's something to talk about. That's actual advice about keeping your house safe, is that you should be conscious of where you place your valuables. Again, the thieves will most often target the master bedroom first, because that's where a lot of people keep their jewelry. And conversely, they almost never target kids' rooms. So theoretically, that's a good place to keep your valuables, is in a kid's room. They say that if you're in a place with a lot of crime, that they recommend not just having a safe, but having two safes. One being a decoy safe that's kind of left out semi-visible, and the other real safe where you keep the real valuables should be hidden well. And they say that safes aren't really that safe, pardon the pun, because it's too easy for the criminal to just grab it and run away, with the theory that there's something valuable inside. Yeah. I suppose that depends a lot on the type of burglar. You know, somebody who's more professional, they would know where to look first, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point, but both bringing up about the professional and also knowing where to look. Mm-hmm. In that, I guess with the professional, I mean, they're not going to bother with certain types of homes, as we said. Mm-hmm. Like, the targeted person is going to target high-value targets. Mm-hmm. So you could put the safe. That person wouldn't fall for the decoy safe stunt.
Right.
But if you actually put the safe in a house that's pretty plain, mm-hmm. then perhaps the person would completely miss the whole thing. Here's the rich person's home, and that's where they would go, but they actually keep their valuables off-site.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two things to say about that. First is that I totally agree in that it's a great way to, as a GM, to play with the PCs to just have whatever they're looking for not be at the site. But also one point about using decoys, it might not work against the targeter, because the targeter is someone who knows what they're going after. They know the specific item. So theoretically, they've done enough research to know that you already have a decoy safe, or you are mm-hmm. keeping things off-site. So
No, I think that's a really good point. But I think, yeah, what I was getting to is that then that adds the extra level to the game, or that extra scene where they kind of scout it out
exactly.
a bit.
Exactly, yeah.
But if the players don't do that, then that's ways to play with mm-hmm. it. Now, another thing, just when you're talking about the decoy, I mean, the decoy safe, that's great. Mm-hmm. Also, decoy jewelry.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And again, it gets down into the time, and the more skilled a thief is, I guess the more they can appraise it instantly, but I think they would still need to have a jeweler's eye mm-hmm. or something to be able to tell a diamond versus a cubit zirconia.
Right.
Or do the, I don't know if it works. Mm-hmm. I'm not a jeweler, but they take the diamond and cut glass with it.
Right.
But if somebody were to see that, I mean, and they're pressed for time, they might just sweep up the treasures, or you can even put some valuable items, but the truly valuable item might be hidden elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I actually really like that idea about having decoy valuables, something that in a game where the players will want this, but maybe it's not the thing they're after, but they only have the time to go for one of them. Could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing like in a fantasy setting, I think people can instantly think of examples such as, you know, a lot of gold here, but there's magic items over there, mm-hmm. or even, you know, low-level magic items here, but there's that artifact over there.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know, with a science fiction game or a more modern game, what you would do, I mean, you put money, I guess, but then the information would be elsewhere. It's like, here's money, but there's more money over there. It doesn't have the same appeal.
Yeah, players in games just don't seem to be as motivated to have money as magical items for fantasy, you know?
Yeah, we're playing Rifts right now, and it's like, okay, we need 15 more million. Okay, I'll throw in 5 of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't really the theft part of it, but it's kind of the aftermath. One piece of advice that I saw online was for owners to engrave their items. You can buy a simple engraving tool at any kind of dollar shop and just put in your initials or some kind of mark on the back of a watch or on some jewelry or something like that, so that if it is stolen, then it's very easy to identify and to prosecute the person. You could see that being a lot of fun in a game where the players successfully pull off the burglary, but now all of a sudden they're holding hot items that no one will buy off of them because it's marked. I can imagine it would be a great fantasy game, too, where the orcs show up at the town claiming that the players stole all their stuff.
And no one cares. And they kill the orcs. Yeah. No, no, I like the idea of a hot item you can't get rid mm-hmm. of. Or, I mean, there's been a couple good stories like that where, you know, they steal that, you know, one-of-a-kind painting. Mm-hmm. And the person, that their buyer then dies or disappears, and now they're stuck with the painting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you talking about engraving, I mean, there's different ways to engrave, of course. I mean, if it's engraved, then you look and you're like, oh, engraved. Right. But it could be magically engraved or subatomically engraved. Just make
it. Sorry, that's what sci-fi is, making stuff up.
Yeah. Engraved on a nano level.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. But what I'm trying to say here very badly is that it's marked, but you might not be aware that it's mm-hmm. marked, or you might not be aware that they can track you through it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you are aware, but again, it's one of those things like the monkey and the banana. It's too valuable to just throw away, but it's really dangerous to hold on mm-hmm. to. And the game is where most of the game is not so much the burglary, it's the aftermath, mm-hmm. that you're being chased and you need to maybe secure a buyer or arrange a buyer or set up that meet with a buyer or something mm-hmm. as you're being chased.
Yeah.
Or trying to think of what are you going to do with this? This is like, couldn't find a use for it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that before, but I think that's a really nifty seed on a story, to where the characters are contracted to steal an item and deliver it to someone with the knowledge beforehand that the item will be tracked. So the second they take it away, they're going to have to be on the run until they can deliver it to whoever the buyer is.
And they show up and the man or woman is dead.
Exactly.
And the players just calmly leave.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Exactly. Actually, you're talking about science fiction as well, kind of getting into some of the more recent methods that burglars have been using. I saw a cool website out there called pleaserobme.com, and what it is, it's a website that scans Twitter and Foursquare and websites like that to see people who have left comments or have checked in at places outside of their homes. And then it uses the social media to say that this is where the person lives and they're not home. So enjoy, please rob them. But it's talking about how in the modern era, about how burglars use social media to find out when people are announcing their vacations, when they're not going to be home. You know, somebody says, going to go see The Hobbit today, really excited. So the burglar knows that they're going to be out of the house for 16 hours because that's how long it takes.
So you were tracking me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, tracking is another thing. Now, with phones having GPS locators on them, you know exactly where the person is, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When it says, like, checked in at mm-hmm. such and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think we were getting away from how to burglarize and how to stop burglars. Mm-hmm. And people didn't tune in for how to stop.
Exactly.
And I'm glad you mentioned sci-fi, because it's very easy to imagine how to scale that up mm-hmm. and how much more they can track you. You think of somebody like Shadowrun's Rigger, mm-hmm. where they have, I'm going to say, cameras in the sky.
Oh, yeah. They have like all the little droids running around. Well, I mean, nowadays drones, they do have those.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, we're already there. We're already Shadowrun. We're just an elf dwarf disease away.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a dragon president.
Yeah. One or two baby steps, but...
But we have drones. Yeah. And using those, if you're talking about a pro, they could just have one of these drones track the target.
Yeah.
And you raised a good point earlier about how to incorporate a lot of people or include a lot of people into a burglary.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is the person giving updates or tracking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, he's on the first floor.
Right.
Oh, he's in the elevator. I don't know how the drone got there. You know, it's like it happens or something in this elevator with me. Oh, but it's like an insect.
Ah, there you go, there you go.
You
think about that. You talk about the scouter who just goes through neighborhoods as an opportunity. And what if they're using a drone to scout? Either they're not opening themselves up to any danger at all. If it can fly up to a window and look inside, you know, even if somebody sees it, it just flies away. How do they catch it unless they have their own drone, you know?
This certainly wasn't the intent of the article that we read with these different types of burglar, mm-hmm. with the scouter. But you could take that as, you make it more, as you were saying earlier, about a scout. Mm-hmm. And that's the role, is to find the opportunity. opportunities.
Mm, yeah.
So they could be like the drone specialist, or they got a really high perception skill, mm-hmm. or they can observe things really
magical
well.
Magical scrying or something like that in a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
Well, I think you hit on it a moment ago, and I think it's one of the best points of the episode is that, you know, even when you think about a burglar, you think about the classical rogue class out of D&D, someone who has the ability to pick locks and sneak through corridors. But the opportunities for these are open to all kinds of character classes. You have people with technical skills who are able to use things like social media or technology, drones, things like that. You have people with the social skills who are able to maybe pretend or fake their way, talk into a place, grifters, obviously the toughs just in case things go wrong. It really, there's no reason that any kind of specialty of character can't join in on the burglary.
We all multi-class as burglars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every one of us has a little burglar inside.
Yeah, even the Hamburglar. I don't know. Just when you said that.
Oh, dude. That was like my level of joke.
My favorite Onion article is the ham murderer, where the McDonald's discontinues their character, the ham murderer, the one who loves McDonald's hamburgers so much
that he
murders for them. And the article's like ends with like this follows a line of other failed characters such as Shakes McJunkie,
oh, geez.
And the Grapist. Still my favorite Onion. Oh, Onion, you pee. Just because every character can be a murderer, they can also be a. Don't sell yourself short.
Exactly.
You can be a murderer too. Doesn't matter what your character sheet says. Now, I think we talked a lot about how burglars deal with just some security measures, such as, a lock or a safe. Mm-hmm. But then there's things like a security system or an alarm. Now, you mentioned earlier, Chris, that they don't pay attention to alarms going mm-hmm. off because of the response time.
Right.
And, of course, like if you're talking about somebody's neighborhood, mm-hmm. absolutely. But then if somebody's trying to burglarize a corporation or a museum where the alarms trigger something else, mm-hmm. Not just response, but then, like, gates closed down or things like that.
And actually, if it does trigger a response in a house, the police may come, but they'll come, 10 minutes later. Whereas in a corporation, the guards will start running it right then.
Yep. And there's gates coming down, too. Mm-hmm. I just like the idea.
It is a pretty cool scene, yeah.
Sand pouring into the room.
Yes.
Walls closing.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, then, dealing with those security measures are really important. And we think of the classic example, with the trip wire or trip lasers, mm-hmm. crisscrossing the room and how you get around that, mm-hmm. either through acrobatics. First, you got to reveal them with spraying dust or powder. Mm-hmm.
And then flip through them with somebody dressed in latex, yeah.
Yeah.
Spandex, not latex. All right, fetishes aside, let's keep going.
Because the lasers have HIV.
Right. Dogs, too. Dogs are actually a really good deterrent. It said that even just setting out an empty dog bowl outside your house can be a better deterrent than having an alarm sticker on your house, because thieves generally don't like to deal with dogs. Though, actually, that got me thinking. I think animals in general can be a really good obstacle for players because of different kinds of senses of smell or acute senses of hearing. I think if you had security made up, I'm thinking primarily like a fantasy campaign, but if you had security made up of different kinds of animals with different kinds of senses, that could be a pretty tough puzzle to get through for would-be thieves.
Oh, no, I think that's a great example. As long as they don't have like a house cat's indifference.
This is true.
I can see you, hear you, smell you. Don't care. Just don't steal this pillow.
Yeah, right.
Even if they were to find out that these creatures had different senses or different hypersenses mm-hmm. in each room, that's like a puzzle mm-hmm. for them to get through. So in this room, it's a blind dog, but it can smell. Mm-hmm. So in another case, maybe the sense of sight is really good. So they have to think of different ways to overcome.
Yes, this dog can't smell, but man, can he see you?
I don't know. You just said he can see you really well. I just thought it like get big eyes. Yeah. Of course, you would want something like a flash against the sight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for some reason I thought of the superhero, which would work too, but
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Just send in the Flash. Exactly. No one can catch him. Yeah. Or send in the creepy guy that we call Flash. Is he fast? No. No. He distracts.
Yeah, you don't want to know how it works.
It's like the sheep harasser. Yes, from exactly. The lads. No, but I really like that idea. Or like somebody in fantasy, or if you look in science fiction, they genetically modify animals, mm-hmm. or create them in a vat to be the ultimate guard, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is something to interact with. And I think like chases can be really hard to do. We've attempted it in a couple games, mm-hmm. Again with varying degrees of success. Mm-hmm. A really good chase can have such a really good payoff, just like in the movies, that it's worth trying. And here you have, I think, a chase that can be contained. Mm-hmm. Because you have something that's probably going to be pretty fast, but will lack certain things that the characters have, mm-hmm. like opposable thumbs, maybe.
I was thinking the same thing. Yep, exactly.
And yeah, and just chase them. I mean, where they can cut off, but maybe more familiar with the environment. Mm-hmm. So in some senses, it can outsmart the players, but the players still have that human edge or that elfish edge or whatever.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So that might be something to work into it. I mean, you're a big fan of these, a series of skill checks.
I am, yes.
To achieve something, and it could be something similar to that.
Of course, you get into the counters to that. The professional thieves who want to steal from a place that has animals. The standard tactic is poisoned or doped meat or treats to get through it. So mm-hmm. there's a give and take to each one of them.
Yeah. What if they're there to steal the animal?
That's, yeah. Mm. Yeah. That would be so cool. No one will get past our guard dog. Where the heck is our guard dog?
You know, the corporation down the road, they have a very similar looking guard dog.
It's got huge eyes.
All right. Well, we talked about different ways in which to burglarize a home, mm-hmm. or a building, a corporation. Yep. But why? A rich character has motivation. So, or a rich antagonist has motivation. So why are they burglarizing these things?
Yeah. It's almost a cliche thing now during the Rogues episodes to just say, well, money, of course, shrug. But no, I think you have a very good point with that, when you get with the lower skilled types of burglars, for the opportunist or the scout, generally they're just looking for something valuable to steal for money. But when you get up to people like the professionals or the targeter, these are people who maybe have had a lot of success with it. They're very skilled, so they already have the money for it. And to them it can be a challenge. And that's maybe what they're in the game for, is to challenge themselves to break into bigger and tougher things.
Well, I'm going to agree and disagree with you.
Great.
Agree with the idea of the thrill or the challenge. I think that's a good motivation. But I would think like a high percentage of home burglaries are committed by male teenagers. Mm-hmm. So I think the thrill can also go down to like the opportunist as well.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Yeah, boredom. The thrill, but of course money as well. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of initiation, right?
Yep, into the gang, some sort of job that they need to do. They don't really want to burglarize something, mm-hmm. so it could be like getting into a gang or being part of a corporation or proving yourself in the corporation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be altruistic.
Yeah, like the leverage game that we're talking about.
Yeah, and often in those cases, the burglary isn't something unto itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's part of a bigger plan or a bigger scheme.
Right. It's something, some kind of retribution, or it's to get an item that was stolen in the first place or something like that.
Well, we talked about The Hobbit earlier. I mean, Bilbo Baggins was hired as a burglar. I don't really know what skills he had. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was kind of brought the skill set of the opportunist, mm-hmm. without any desire. He kind of found the ring later on. Mm-hmm. So
and Sting. Yeah, he didn't really have anything going for him.
Tolkien kind of just threw that plot together. But yeah, but there you have a case where he was hired to help them in their quest, break and enter into, I guess, the guy's ancestral home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you got a dragon in there. It's like,
he's done well so far. See what happens.
Yeah. No, it was one of those things, like getting in was the easy part. Mm-hmm. Or like there's some item that they need for the next phase. Mm-hmm. So they break, they get that item, they go on something else, or they use that item for some sort of good thing. Mm-hmm.
It could be politically motivated, where you're going against some kind of rival and it's to get information. Or, I don't know what the proper word here is, maybe alignment motivated, where you have your PC group going against a group of orcs to go and steal something from them. I don't know, you're good, they're bad, that's why it's okay to steal from them. I don't really know how to term that, but yes.
What is it where they're kind of, you justify it to yourself.
Rationalization, that's it.
Yeah, rationalization. Also, blackmail, when you talk about getting information, you can use that to commit another crime.
Yeah.
Blackmail or extortion. Mm-hmm. I guess we're kind of moving away from the altruistic thing. But, I mean, blackmail can also be used in a good sense mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, yeah. To blackmail a bad person into doing something good.
Breaking and entering in order to get something, to break and enter into something else.
Wow. It's like Inception. We must go deeper.
No, in that sense, I mean, you could be trying to break into something else, or like you said, you're compromising the security so that other people can come in later.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you can compromise the security by, you know, leaving the window unlocked. Mm-hmm. But it could also be the case where you get the codes or you set up something that will compromise the security system or the locks, mm-hmm. and then the others can go in and get it.
You could do a double grift. You convince one person that another person will be coming later on, and that makes it easier for them to be able to get in and do some kind of con job or something like that.
Here's the thing. You could burglarize somebody's home because you know somebody else is going to burglarize it and actually steal something valuable.
To keep it safe?
To keep it safe. Now, to keep it safe by either you stealing it mm-hmm. and moving it to another location, or at least compromising the security to the point where they feel that they need to tighten the security. It's kind of like when a corporation hires a hacker mm-hmm. to, you know, hack into their system and then tell them, okay, this is how I did it.
I see, yeah, yeah.
These are the vulnerabilities in your firewall.
Well, they actually have people do that who will try to break into banks to try and test their security systems as well.
Yeah, so that could be the contract. It could be
nice.
It could be both, like, the company's actually hired you to do it, but it could also be that, you know, it's like, well, he'll never believe me, or she'll never believe me if I say, you know, somebody's going to burglarize it, because they'll go, well, this is the most.
Right, right.
This is Fort Knox. You know, they'll never be able to get into here. And they're like, okay,
well, I'm calling you from inside.
I was going to think leaving a playing card or something, but yours is probably better, because they're like, oh, who left this playing card here? I don't know.
Well, actually, you know, going back to hackers, that's exactly what the white hat hackers often do. They'll try and expose vulnerabilities in websites, but then let the websites know about it to try and fix it up.
So we now have white burglars.
Exactly. Dude.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we got people go, there always were white burglars. There always were. White hat burglars.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if there would really be a gray hat burglar. I guess a gray hat burglar is that they're robbing for a greater good. They're actually, I mean, what they're doing is burglarizing the place, but there is a greater good there.
Well, or it could be they are in it just for the thrill of it, and that's literally it. They'll break into a place to try and break into a place, but they won't steal anything once they've got in. They just wanted to see if they were able to. That, I think that would actually be a nice link to your playing card one. They don't have to notify or tell anyone about it. They just kind of leave a little calling card.
I'm just wondering why you would do it, not steal anything. What would be the motivation? Why would you do that?
The thrill.
But you would still want to take something.
Even for just a memento for yourself, huh?
Well, yeah, but I'm also thinking, like, in the context of a game.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
Like maybe, you know, you and I, you know, because we're kind of crazy that way. We might burglarize somebody's home and watch a movie. And, you know, it's almost sounding like those creepy stalkers.
Yeah, it does. Hey.
Like going to somebody's home and then they're just kind of there.
Wear their clothes and eat their peanut butter, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess at least you're stealing peanut butter.
True.
Is it my roommate? Who's been drinking my milk? No. That's creepy. Like, I like the idea of, like, you need to get the Diamond of Arasha in the museum, and that's the challenge, but you actually have to get the diamond. Mm-hmm. You don't get, like, a selfie in front of the diamond and bring that up. You know, it's like, oh, well done, you did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, all right, that was it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a backstory to it, but you could kind of do a reverse burglary where you break in to place something there if you're trying to plant evidence on somebody.
There you go. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. We see that in a series like Leverage.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah. Now, what would you plant, though? Like, yeah, you plant evidence. If you're really clever, you could be planting, you steal something from one place and you plant it in another place mm-hmm. because you want them to go to war or something like that. Especially incorporating the idea that you mentioned earlier about, like, engraving or some sort of marking.
Oh, yeah.
So it is, like, noticeable, and it's like, well, that's not, like, they track it to the other person's place.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. So you know it's hot, mm-hmm. and it's just a case. And back to the chase idea, it's just a matter of, can we get this hot item to that place mm-hmm. before we're caught? So then, you know, they don't know what the ruse is.
Right.
Yeah. No, but I really like that idea, Chris, where planting something. planting a bomb.
So, well, I mean, actually, that kind of would count, you know? That's pretty evil, but...
No, I mean, there's been some good, Law and Order episodes. It's based on a true story, but, you know, with the protesters, they'll sneak into, a corporation to protest it mm-hmm. and plant a bomb, but they didn't know the security guard was there, or the security guard would be walking by at that time, and they kill the security guard.
Oh, yeah.
So then they go on the run and go underground.
Okay. I used to do that in the old game Fallout a lot. I had a character who was really, really, really good at pickpocketing. But instead of taking things out of pockets, he would put them in. So if I was going up against a group of pretty tough enemies, I would sneak around and put grenades in all of their backpacks and then walk away and just let them all blow up. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Very evil.
Yes. Yeah.
But I have a Psy Ghost in Rift. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, a Psy Ghost, the main ability is intangibility. Mm-hmm. So think Shadowcat from the X-Men. And he can carry up to about 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that will be intangible as well. So yeah, one of my things, which doesn't work all that well, is to go intangible with a fusion block.
Eey.
And then plant the fusion block and then walk out.
Wow.
Yeah.
You'd think that would work well.
I am a thief and I am a burglar, but you almost don't think about it when you can become intangible because it's so easy. There's some powers like a teleporter or even we talked earlier, like the Flash might, he can vibrate so fast he becomes intangible mm-hmm. in some comics. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, it's where it depends on the world around them. You know, if you're the only wizard in the world, then being a thief is going to be the easiest thing ever. But if you're in a world where magic is fairly commonplace, then there will be magical defenses against you. I can think so.
Yeah, and one thing that I'm vulnerable to is electricity,
mm.
and as well as gas. So if, you know, there were a lot of people that could become intangible, or that was a concern, you go through like a wall and find out it's electrified, mm-hmm. or you trigger something because you need to become tangible to grab something and bring it into your sphere or whatever, and then that triggers gas.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, so there's always going to be a defense for an offense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Person just has to be aware of it.
I don't know if you'd want to do this in the backstory, or if you would ever be able to play it out long enough in a game where a person with, like, let's say an intangibility of power or a teleportation power, like the movie Jumper, mm-hmm. whether you would want the person to have a lot of easy scores initially.
Ah, kind of ramp it up as people get aware of it.
Yeah, they could become aware of it within the story, or it could be the, you know, as they choose more difficult targets mm-hmm. or more valuable targets, then they have better defenses.
Yeah, yeah.
Against something like that. So.
That'd be fun, too, especially if he starts going after targets that are well-defended against his kind of power. It opens the question, yep. Are there other people with this power?
Yeah, that might be a way. Is like, well, how did they know? Well, if I ever get out of here, yeah. I'm going to see if there's others like me.
If I survive this poison gas.
Yeah. And you die. Oh, okay. Okay, well, that ends our episode on rogues, burglary, mm-hmm. and we talked about both how to do it and how to stop
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Lots of good advice there. If you want to be a burglar, carry a brick. If you want to defend against burglar, electrify your walls.
Yes. Yep. Or don't leave bricks around. I think exactly. if there's one takeaway, and really get off of social media.
Exactly.
Okay, well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And Happy Hanukkah and Yo-Yo Toshio.
Happy holidays in general.
Yes, all of them.
We're not sure about our holiday schedule at the moment, but we'll certainly keep you posted.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to make sure that we wished you all the best in the holiday season, in case we didn't catch you before.
Yes. All right, well, thank you for joining us again on Out of Red Hands. Check us out online at www.idlereredhands.com, outofredhands.com. You can listen to the episode right there on the website, or stream it through iTunes or Stitcher, or download it off of DriveThruRPG. You can plus one us on G+, you can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, or you can join up and talk to us in our forums. Those are at idleredhands.com/forums, and are hosted by Happy Jacks. Thank you very much, guys. Or you can send us an email at info@idleredhands.com. Thanks a lot, and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Drive Through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive Through RPG. The one true source for RPGs.
see us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.